The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's fantastic, phenomenal, always fun, usually somewhat fascinating. Friday, as we head into the weekend, not being afraid even if the earth gives way or the mountains fall into the sea, because our help comes from the Lord. First, remember the cowardly lion? Put him up. Put him up. The one thing he needed was courage. Think about it. It takes courage to believe God. Of course, people will mock you for your faith. That's not new. But how we stand regarding that mocking demonstrates our courage. And courage, mixed with a mustard seed of faith, produces very serious well-being. Next, Noodle Baker. Noodle Baker, how are we doing when it comes to living for the praises of men and not for people? Does our courage shine through, or do we act all formal and stiff around other people? Starch is great for shirts, I think. I don't really use starch in my shirts. But starch is not great for faith. Real faith can walk on water. Hey, wait, walking on water, that's not dignified, is it? And finally, the Lord knows what he's doing despite our second-guessing nature. The graciousness of our God brings into our lives three sections of a journey. The first section is out, the second section is through, and the last section is in. We need to walk as the people of God. There is for each one of us a promised land. Say amen.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, where we prove live radio is live. We do a pretty good job of that, don't we? I mean, we're proving it. Nobody can deny it. It's not on tape. Local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. I hate sharing those. I'm always guilty. Have you ever noticed that? I'm always guilty when I share those. Spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? You can email us, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483, or you can call us at 972-445-0770, 972-445-0770. That's where Terrific T will answer the phone. Yay, she's back, and that's terrific. Keep in mind that any topic is open for conversation because it's not professional radio. Did we not just prove that? It was we just missed the marks. We disconnect. That's just rust. We get that out. We'll be fine. Here's the bottom line. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family. And there's some things I want you to be aware of. Like, if you have a thought, a comment, an opinion, or you have something you want to share, you have a praise report, or you have a prayer request, you reach out to us. Reach out, and we will be glad to do what we can to support you, strengthen you, and bless you in that process. It might be prayer for other people. It might be praise for something the Lord's doing that you just thought, maybe I should just give acknowledgement to that. Whatever it is, as unto the Lord, our goal as a Christian community is to draw closer to the Lord, to strengthen one another, and to stand with one another as we see the day approaching, and to reach others so that they can also know of the grace and the mercy of God. Here is your first trivia question. And man, is it easy. I mean, there's no warning here. If you can't get this, I can't help. I mean it. True or false, when Jesus was arrested, Peter helped him to escape. True or false? When Jesus was arrested, Peter helped him to escape. All right, you think you know the answer? You can reach out to us as soon as I can find our telephone number. What's our telephone number? It's 972-445-0770. The text is 214-210-8483, and then the website, I'm sorry, the email is david@hemustincrease.org. If you do make out checks, by the way, and you're doing this thing for Samson, do not worry about having everything in the paid order. If it says he must increase ministry, he must, that's fine. It'll get there. Just get it to this address here at the station. That you can get by going to their website, 770KAM.com, or to our website at hemustincrease.org, and then under a contact us, there's information there. Okay? Okay, I'm just making it as easy as I can. Somebody ready to answer the trivia? Okay, here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Gary.
Hey, Gary. How are you? Long time no talk to.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you feeling?
Well, I'm about the same.
About the same? Well, we're praying for you. We don't stop praying for you, brother. That is just one thing I want you to know. And we're just glad to hear your voice. Wonderful to hear it. All right. Not a tough question. I think you'd agree with me on that one. True or false, when Jesus was arrested, Peter helped him to escape?
That's false.
That is false. That is, you are correct, sir. In fact, do you remember what Peter, I mean, Peter's whole experience, this was then when the denial started taking place, and it was getting messy for him. It was a tough time, even though the Lord restored him. But that is false. When he was arrested, nobody was standing with Jesus. They all left. And there he was, all alone. Awesome. Yeah. How can we pray for you real quickly? Do you mind?
Okay.
All right, let's pray as an audience. Father, we come before you right now so glad to hear from our brother Gary, and just pray in the name of Jesus that you would give vitality to his body, to his mind, to his heart, to his limbs, to every part of him, strengthen his heart, strengthen his internal organs, and empower him so that he can have a greater sense of energy and visit with him so he can be just closer to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And thank you very much.
You are more than welcome, Gary. God bless you.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye. All right, there's Gary. Check. I haven't heard from him for a while. So glad to hear from him. Everybody keep him in prayer, okay? Okay. Okay, so we did that. I think we did it right now. It's fresh. You know, he hasn't been here for a while, so we're just working it all back together. That's how we look at that. Got that? All right. This is out of Acts chapter 27, verse 25. Now, remember, I just did my cowardly lion imitation. Put him up. That's from Wizard of Oz, for those that don't know. Acts 27:25. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. That is something that Christians need to do. Keep up the courage. So Paul is on the boat. The boat's going to go down. It's getting ugly. It's all getting to be a disaster, right? Paul's like, keep up your courage. Keep up your courage. Don't be afraid. Keep it up. I have faith in God that it'll happen just as he told me. If we actually have, watch this, faith in God, even the size of a mustard seed, then we would actually believe that whatever's going to happen is going to happen just as God told us things were going to happen. In other words, if we actually believed that, if we actually trusted in that, if we actually had a confidence in that, if actually that faith was genuine, we would have courage. People are going to mock your faith. If they haven't already, they will do so more and more. You will, because you are like your Lord, you will become mocked and ridiculed in increasing amounts. What you need, and what I need, and what we need as a people, as the people of God, is to have faith that it's going to come down exactly the way that God says it's going to happen. And that becomes our faith, and that becomes an ability to help us have courage in the face of the onslaughts of mocking and of the attempted belittlements and all of that process. In Paul's case, they were facing death. And Paul's attitude in this portion, not in every portion, but in this portion, he was strong in his faith and said it's going to happen just like God said it's going to happen, and that's it. And he just wouldn't, this is what the Lord said, this is what's going to happen, and I don't care. I promise you, as that boat was sinking, somebody probably looked over at Paul, like, boy, I hope you're right, because they're all, the boat's going down, they're all on rafts, they're going to get to the island, right? The scripture says everybody got there safe. Not one person was lost. That's what courage does. It is the ability to look at the Goliath and say, nah, I'm not intimidated and I'm not running away. I'm just going to be here because God is true to his word. I mean, when David did that, we all talk about it. It's an immense faith, right? But it was a courage for a 6-foot-some-odd man to stand up to a 9-foot man. And David, not the warrior, but you know what he had? He had courage. He had faith that God was able to do everything God said he was going to do. So how about this one? God said all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. Have courage for that. Okay? All right. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience.
I am such a sinner. Not just a sinner. I am such a sinner. I'm like the biggest sinner ever. That's how I felt. And then it was the understanding that God really cared about me. And therein lies the key. Because God did care. He does care. And it's the same for you. You're listening to me. He does care. And that pain you're going through, it makes him weep. And you might think, well, you can't back that up spiritually or scripturally. Yes, I can. John chapter 11, verse 35. Jesus wept, not for Lazarus. Lazarus was getting up in 5 minutes, but all the grief and the pain around him. Come on. God has a heart. His heart's bigger than your heart. So here's part of the things that I'm skipping light years. I'm just going past it. But it's like when that guy started crying and I started getting mad, and then he said it was, this is how the Lord feels for you, and this is the Lord's heart for you. It just showed me I'm so hard hearted. I'm like a rock, but not in a good way. You know, I'm like a dumb rock. Like, oh man, what's the matter with me? And so you know what he did when he was done doing that? Because now I'm gone, right? Because now how do you think after that happens, how do you think I feel? Okay. So now I'm like, please pray for me. That's right. Because I'm just lost. And he prays for me. And it's powerful. It's like, you know, it's unbelievable. It's just really, very, really powerful. Here's the thing that leads up to it. Now, ready? And that is the powerful point, especially when he cried. But it turns out that I went to that church for a little while. You want to hear something absolutely, positively, mind-blowing, amazing? 3 months later, on a Sunday night, I was preaching in that church. And I was preaching Romans 1:16, the very first thing I ever taught in my life. In that church, in Pastor David Huntsworth Church, Abundant Life in Dillon, Colorado. And I'll tell you one thing that I hope you really hear. And that is that one experience so affected me, I was never the same person again. It just showed me that God really does care. We're pretty hard-hearted. Yeah, we're mashugi from time to time. Not God. He's totally awesome. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Let's get ready for our next trivia question. Not a hard question, but I will tell you, question 3 and 4 are hard. How hard? Probably some of the hardest we've ever asked you. So just take a deep breath. But first, this trivia question. True or false, Jesus never married? True or false, Jesus never married? If you think you know the answer, you can call in 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483, or you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. I have in my hands, and I just kind of feel bad for T because it's been a while for her. I have to go through this, but yet here we are. Exactly. Thank you. I have two sets of jokes. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to do the first one that I think is just a little funnier on the blooper, kind of church bulletin bloopers. And there's only 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of them. They're very short. And if they're really bad, okay, then I'll do the other joke. But So this is kind of like the pastor going, I've got a $100 sermon, a $50 sermon, and a $10 sermon. This is kind of like that. Okay, here we go. This is a church blooper. So you got 6 of these. Here we go. Low self-esteem support group will meet Thursday at 7 to 8:30 p.m. Please use the back door. That's not bad. Okay. I can tell you don't want that other joke coming in. Here's the next bulletin. Remember in prayer the many who are sick of our church and community. They're sick of the church. The choir invites any member of the congregation who enjoys sinning to join the choir. Instead of singing, they put sinning. All right. If you don't like this, I have nothing for you. At the evening service, the sermon topic will be, what is hell? Come early and listen to our choir practice. That's mean. Remember, these are bloopers in church bulletins. A song fest was hell. See, instead of hell, held. A song fest was hell at the Methodist Church Wednesday. And then the last one, instead of the hymn, I love thee, my Lord, they have the hymn, I love thee, my Ford. All right, we'll just go with that. I'm going to spare everybody the rest of it. We did that. Have we done everything? I don't know what we've done. Oh, I do want to just reiterate the website real quickly, okay? And the reason is because on the website is, one, the address for here for you to send a check for Samson. And then, two, there's a free book there. Now, if you decide, no, I'd rather have a print book, you can spend $7.77. I would actually prefer you just to get the free electronic book, because that way if there's anything wrong with it, you can go, well, I got what I paid for, which was nothing. But anyway, so go there to the website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email david@hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, trivia question is, Jesus was never married, true or false? I will say that I'm going to respond to Kirk's answer because he gave a theological one. I'm going to kind of deal with that afterwards. So just remind me in case I lose my mind. Here we go. Here's a question for you. Don't get upset, but think about it. Has American democracy and culture influenced the Christian worship style? Now, why that's important is because there is a multitude of styles for worship, and there's no reality. Everybody must worship this way, or everybody must worship this way. Okay, that shouldn't even exist, right? Every group has differences. Every group has cultures within it. There's nothing wrong with that. As long as it's being done as unto the Lord sincerely, God's not up there going, "Well, golly, I wish they had an extra button on." I mean, come on. If that's the God you serve, you shouldn't be listening to this show.
this is the last show you should listen to. But there is some truth that there is some starchiness that comes into the play, and we've talked about it before, and I think it's important for us to be aware that because we're Christians, there is a certain sense of moral expectation, but then there's this other sense of expectation as to how one should behave. Now, I understand there's a difference between the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, and even the year 2000 in regards to culture and societal shift. That's not what I'm talking about. 2 Chronicles 7:3 says, "All the sons of Israel, seeing the fire come down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, bowed down on the pavement to their faces to the ground, and they worshiped and gave praise to God." We also read in the book of Revelation, we know that the people will be bowing down and worshiping to God. Now, all I'm asking you to do is walk with me in the thought process. I'm not asking you to change it. I'm not asking you to come in church in shorts and flip-flops. I'm not doing any of that. So just stop that. You dress as you believe is appropriate before you and the Lord. If you want to dress up in a tie and wear your best, that's fine. If you want to come in casual clothes, that's fine, depending on your church. I mean, that's how you guys nail that down. But in our society, somebody who bows down and worships is considered undignified and a bit of a loon. And it's not something that we'll say out loud, but it is something that we'll either think or the cultural norm will speak of. The irony behind that is throughout the Old and New Testament, bowing down is a significant part of worship. And prior, so let me just say this real quickly, prior, when you had, prior to our country, actually prior to the 1800s would be probably most accurate, bowing down in worship was a norm. And now it is seen as an extreme. The question is, why? And the most direct answer is our society has influenced our Christian responses to God. If in the Old Testament they bowed down, and in the New Testament they bowed down, and in the book of Revelation they show bow down, why is bow down bad? And the reason is because there's either it's an excessive statement to the public, or it's over dramatizing, or it's a humility action for a human being to do, to bow down like kind of like a dog kind of thing. Let me explain something to you. That's the kind of stuff you and I need to be aware of, where some people go to church and worship and they sprawl on the ground and they worship the Lord that way. That should not bother any person any which way. If you don't want to do that, that shouldn't bother a person who does bow down. But it shouldn't go either direction. We shouldn't be such a church and so starch. And I can just see everybody going, well, in society we do this, in society we do this. When Jesus comes and we're all with him, if there's any place to fall down on the ground, we will. It's not going to be, hey, Jesus bud, man, how's it going, right? That's not how that's going. Okay, when he, just think of what John saw in the book of Revelation. And what's the first thing John did? Bow down. Wow, this was my friend, but look, he's the Lord. I bring that up not to shame anybody and not to ask any of you to change. What I'm doing is asking you to expand. Expand your own understanding. Expand that understanding that when first in 2 Samuel 6, it says, when David returned home to bless his household, Michal, his daughter, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet him. How the king of Israel has distinguished himself by disrobing in the sight of the slave girls and of the servants as a vulgar fellow would. And David said, it's the Lord who chose me rather than your father. And he said, I will celebrate before the Lord. I'll become even more undignified than this. And I would be humble or humiliated in my own eyes. But if these slave girls you spoke of, they'll hold me in honor. In other words, the wife didn't like it. I don't like that. That's very vulgar. Wait. opening your heart before the Lord is vulgar? You got to watch that. And the reason that I bring that up is because I think that some of our culture has impacted our church in a great way. And what will happen is in some of the churches that forbid it, they're the very same churches that stand up when the Word of God is read, which comes, by the way, from Ezra and Nehemiah, but they won't do the rest of it. So they have that standing up and sitting down when the word's read. That's good, but the bowing down, nah. See how that works? That's when we get, when you require people to do it a certain way, that's when we get legalistic. And that's what we got to be careful of. And that's when you hear this show, you'll hear me cover different points of view and different aspects, because you need to freely worship before the Lord. Now, I'll tell you something that I do that is really important for me, not for anybody else, but I'm one of those guys that when worship gets really good, I lift up my hands. You know, I'm one of those hand lifters, you know, where you lift up your hands. But I also know that there's people behind me and that can be distracting. So you know what I do? I go in the back. I go in the furthest back so I'm not in front of anybody anywhere, and then it's just me and the Lord. And nobody can see me and nothing's going on. And that's an approach I think that's worthwhile to take, because I certainly don't want to bring offense to them, but I don't want to cut off my worship either. Be the kind of person that is accepting. Accept one another, Romans 15:7 says, just as Christ accepted you. Okay? All right, that's fair. Trivia question, true or false, Jesus never married? Of course, the answer is true, but I will give Kirk props because he said, yeah, but he's the groom of the church. That's true, Kirk, I'm going to give you that, but that wedding feast hasn't taken place yet. Anyway, we'll take our break and then we'll come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break, we'll be back.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
Is the David Spoon Experience.
Or the president of Focus on the Family. When you got that position, I'm talking the initial moment that you knew you were getting that position, were you thinking, what?
Exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking. Given my background, I was going, no, no, no. In fact, I got home, said to my wife, Jean, this is what I've been asked today. And she looked at me and said, who would have thunk it? That summed it up. That was that entire day. I was just like, oh my goodness. My wife and I used to pray for the poor guy coming behind Dr. Dobson.
Now you were praying for yourself. You didn't even know it.
That's exactly right. Does he have a sense of humor or what?
That's great stuff. Excellent material and an excellent interview, Jim. I really appreciate it. You did a great job, and I just want to thank you from my whole heart just for all the work that you're doing, for the people that you're blessing, and for this project that you guys have been working on Irreplaceable. Nice job.
Thanks, David.
If Jesus. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. All right, and let's see. We have our next trivia question. I told you that this would be hard. I think I forewarned you. I am going to give you a choice of three things. This is a real educational trivia question. There is an answer, but you just got to come within five. How many different miracles of Jesus do the four Gospels record? Is it 20, 30, 40, or in between? I got to do it that way. I can't do it the other way. 20, 30, 40. By the way, all three of those are wrong. 20, 30, 40, or in between. My hint is go the in-betweens. There you go. How many different miracles? Now, if you know, that's fascinating. But if you have to count them, you probably won't get it done in time to listen to the rest of the show. So, how many different miracles? Just give me a ballpark and I'll tell you. It's between 20 and 40. Give me a ballpark. I'll let you know. Okay? How many different miracles did Jesus do? Well, that's how I'll ask it, because otherwise it's really hard to ask that question. If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483, or you can email, why are you asking a question that way? Which would be a good email, because I don't know why I'm asking it that way. But david@hemustincrease.org. Let us entertain you, and then let us do our history real quickly. History song. Let's do it.
Let's go living in the past. Let's go living in the past.
Okay, a couple of good ones right in this. Today is Father-in-Law Day, so that's good. If you're a father-in-law or a daughter-in-law, you should kind of be aware of that. Or a son-in-law, you should be aware of that, right? Friendship Day. Always good to have friendship. World Snorkeling Day. Have you ever gone snorkeling? You ever done that? Like in anywhere?
No, it sounds interesting.
It's fun. The first time you get water in the little tube thing and it goes down in your throat, that's not fun. But it's cool to look at stuff. I'm just saying. And then these last two, tell me what you think of these. National Chili Dog Day. Come on. Right? Is that good? Do you like
Yay!
That?
Yeah. Hey, 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 hey. Yummy.
I can't remember if you like this or not. You did tell me, but I'm just trying to remember because it's been what? National Cheesecake Day. Do you like cheesecake? No? Do you like it?
I can't say no because I tried a cheesecake once and it was really good.
But so you just don't know in general. Yeah, if you have good cheese, if it's really good, you know, there's some unbelievable. Then there's some that are like, meh.
Yeah. I'm like a half and half.
Okay,
cheesecake
fair enough.
Fan.
Okay, see, now that's a challenge for somebody to get to eat some serious New York cheesecake. I think that would do it right there for. For those that are interested, in 1956 on this day, In God We Trust is adapted as the U.S. national motto, began appearing on coins much earlier. In fact, in 1864, it was appearing on coins, and in 1957, I think, it began appearing on money. The first Saturn automobile rolled off the assembly line in 1990, and in 1991, everybody sent their Saturns back. Like, what is that? And then last but not least, I thought this was kind of interesting. 1936, first Major League Baseball team to travel by air. You just think it's like so common now. The Boston Red Sox became the first Major League Baseball team to travel by air. I just think that's kind of fascinating. Okay, so I just did that question so poorly. I'm just going to give you the answer. It's just I just did it bad. I didn't say it right. You know. I just don't always do it
the best job. The question was, how many different miracles of Jesus do the four Gospels record? Wait, somebody's calling in, so I'm not going to give the answer. I'm going to give them a chance to guess, and you know I'm going to get them there because that's what we do. There is an actual number, and I thought I said it's between 20 and 40, 20, 30, or 40 kind of thing, but we shall see as somebody's going to respond to this challenge. And I feel bad. I feel bad because I didn't say it good. You know, it's like I can't even answer the question the way I asked it. But it's part of life. We ready? Ready? Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. This is Joy Ann.
Hi, Joy Ann. How are you?
I'm so blessed. I love that question about the miracles of Jesus.
Okay, and wow.
Thinking, now where can I find that quickly? And I believe the Holy Spirit helped me. There's this wonderful book called The Rose Book of Bible Charts, Maps, and Timelines. And I looked in the index, and it has miracles of Jesus listed on a page. And it's just beautiful. It's about 35. I didn't count exactly because I was in a hurry to get to you. But
that is it! 35 is the number. So there's a give and take on one or two, and that's okay. But 35 is the general amount that's recognized. You're going to have to keep that chart handy for the next question, I can tell you that. But the different miracles Jesus did in the four Gospels is roughly 35 miracles. That's exactly correct.
How did you? What? So wonderful. The next page is all the parables of Jesus. And so if you ask questions.
That's going to be my next one. You can't answer it yet. That's so funny you did that. That is going to be the next one. So I'm going to let other people look that up. But what is that chart? What is that called? That people can track that down. What is that called?
It's called The Rose Book of Bible Charts, Maps, and Timelines. It's a very big, spiral-bound book, and I got it at CVS. They have like a little carousel with inspirational books. So sometimes you can get things at CVS for like 30 or 40% off.
I mean,
it's at the bookstore, the Bible bookstores, too, but... I love this book. So anyway, I hope people will go and look for it.
I've never talked to anybody who bought a spiritual book at CVS.
It can be done.
It can be done. 35. Excellent job. Excellent job.
Thank you. And two quick things. It's so wonderful to hear from Gary.
Yes.
We missed hearing his voice. And then also, I do love now standing in the back of the church so I can raise my hands in worship. I heard you say that a few months ago. I, you know, our church, we go to First Baptist downtown, which is fantabulous. And there are people who are very emotive like I am and, you know, worshipful. But, you know, mostly they're a little more reserved. So I love standing in the back. And that's what you taught us.
Yeah. That's the way to do it. And I've always found that to be, there's nothing wrong with it. You're not distracting. You get to have that same freedom of worship. And some of it, sometimes it's just fantastic. Very difficult to do on the front row of a large church.
Yes. Amen. So anyway, thank you for that great tip.
Awesome.
Have a beautiful weekend. We love you and bless you.
Awesome. Excellent job. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 35. I can't believe she got it so good. She got a chart, though. And so the next question is going to be along those same lines. So you might as well start looking, people. The next question is going to be about parables. I'll just tell you that. Let's get into this last little bit of text. Psalm 81:10. I am Yahweh, your God, who brought you up from the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. Now, for those that are trying to figure out what does that mean, this has a lot to do with expectations. So if the Lord comes to you, I'm using this as kind of like a figurative or a picture or a symbolic picture. If the Lord comes to you and say, hey, I got some brownies. open up your mouth. I'm going to feed them to you. If you open up your mouth a little bit, you expect a little bit. If you open up your mouth like a little bit more, then you're expecting a little bit more. If you do like I do and open your mouth as wide as you can to try and get your top lip to touch your hair and your bottom lip to touch your Adam's apple, then you're opening your mouth wide. And the Lord goes, open up your mouth wide and I will fill it. So there's something that's fantastic about the Lord that he does for people that people tend to forget. He brought Israel out of bondage, remember? He brought them through the desert, and then he brought them into the promised land. And then as they're going towards the promised land, he gets this, open up your mouth wide and I will fill it. The attitude about the promised land has to do with this higher level of expectation. I don't think there's anything bizarre or weird. I think Christians do a really poor job in general of expecting when they pray. They pray and then it's just like they're throwing the dice going, maybe, maybe not, maybe, maybe not, you know, maybe it'll come up seven. I don't know. It's like, look, there has to be a higher level of expectation because that's your faith that's in action. God brought you out of bondage. You are no longer en route to hell. Everybody's going to hell. You either get on the boat with Jesus, that's the rescue boat, or you don't. And so you get out of bondage, off that direction to hell. He brings you through the desert, and eventually he's going to bring you into the ultimate promised land. But these three stages are also accurate for how we go through things. Brings us out of something, brings us through something, and brings us into something. Just because you're out of it, you're not done. Just because you're going through it, you're not done. It's not until you get in to the promised land that you're done. And that's just for that subject or whatever's going on in your life. And from an eternal point of view, out of condemnation, through a journey that makes you reflect Jesus Christ more and more, and into heaven. Like, okay, that's a winner all the way around. So we should open our mouth wide and say, fill it, Lord. Give me as much as you can. I'm ready. I accept it. I receive it. I believe in you. I believe that you are generous and not stingy. I think about half of us would do so much better if we just thought that. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
You may be from a Baptist background, a Pentecostal background, a non-denominational background. David Spoon has that too. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, then give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. On God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Can I blow your mind? You know, I did this with you before, but on a different text. I love this text. You will love this text because you and I are sci-fi people. You'll love this. I mean, this is one of those, oh, goodness gracious, that's so good. 1 Samuel 23:10-12. 1 Samuel 23:10-12. Okay? 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 Okay. 1 Samuel 23:10-12 says this. Then David said, O Lord God of Israel, your servant has heard for certain that Saul is seeking to come to destroy the city on my account. Will the men of Keilah surrender me into his hand? Will Saul come down just as your servant has heard? O Lord God of Israel, I pray, tell your servant. And the Lord said, he will come down. Then David said, will the men surrender me and my men to the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, they will surrender you. I love this portion because people, we think in these boxes and we force God into our theology and say he must conform here, which is just insanity by itself. Here's a situation where David hears that Saul is coming down to try and get him. And he's asking, will the people of the city surrender me? I've helped them. I've defended them. I've given them some deliverance. Is Saul going to come in and change their mind and they're going to give me up?
And the Lord says, yeah, that's going to happen. Now, if you read the rest of the passage in 1 Samuel 23, David leaves. So he is not surrendered to Saul by the men of the city. But what I want you to catch is this. God knew what the outcome was going to be if David stayed, and what the outcome was going to be if David left. In other words, God knew the alternate universe or the alternate pathway that was taking place. We've talked about this before. It's one of those cool thoughts where we don't think of it in these terms. But remember, David says to God, hey, are they going to give me up? And the Lord's like, yeah, they're going to give you up. That's what's going to happen. So you need to make a decision and go a different direction so we can have a different outcome. And it's like God knew what the outcome was if they gave him up, and God knew what the outcome was if he left. God knew what it would be if he went left or right, if we went west, east, north, or south. God knew what the outcome was going to be no matter what, because God is omniscient. He knows all things, which means he knows every alternate route.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Here is our final trivia question right on the heels of the other one. And since Joanne and Cordelia kind of already did their, they already kind of gave a little bit of leeway into that, and I know they have the answer. The question is, what a great job they did, by the way. Thank you, ladies. How many different parables of Jesus do the four Gospels record? How many different parables of Jesus do the four Gospels record? So my response is this. Give it your best shot if you don't know, and I'll give you the answer. And if you want to call and guess, you can do that. If you want to text and guess, you can do that. But I'll just make sure that... T gives me the signal to remind me so we don't go through all weekend going, how many was it? How many was it? How many was it? Okay? If you think you know the answer, how many parables in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is recorded by the record that Jesus shared, you can call 972-445-0770 or you can text in 214-210-8483 or you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Let me share something that Leanne shared with me real quickly in regards to Samson. I just thought it was a great scripture because we're talking about if you're able to, if you want to send a check in to the station. So this is not for the ministry. This is for the ministry of giving it to one of our listeners to help them get a car. We're asking you to prayerfully consider that. We're not telling you to do that. You can't be guilted about this. Don't get any weirdness on me. Just send a check to the station, and then you can either put Attention Samson, Attention David Spoon, whatever, but on the check, make out to He Must Increase Ministry or HMIM, and that way it'll be tax deductible. And so Leanne gave this verse in Galatians 6:10 out of the New Living Translation. Therefore, whenever we have opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. And so there you go. That's it. That is fulfillment. That is fulfillment of Scripture. I want you guys to understand, okay, that when we do stuff like this, there is never an attempt. I just want you to be aware. There's never an attempt to manipulate anything like that. Look, somebody, it was actually Ace who came up with the idea, and he brought it up 2:30 yesterday. Here we are 24 hours later, and we've already got some kind of mini system going. It's like, and that's what the body is supposed to do. It's supposed to take care of one another. Now, with all the different answers we're getting on the parable question, I will say two things. One, we're not talking about the repeat. In other words, how many original parables? And two, it's within three or four, the answer we're going to give, because some people think, well, that's a parable, and some people think that's not a parable. But we're not there for splitting hairs like that. Okay? We don't get into that. How many parables are recorded in the four Gospels? And then we're looking at the total of different ones. Okay? It's kind of my nice way of saying that. Anything else we got to cover? Nope. Don't forget the website. We don't have to play it. That's fine. But there's a book there for free if you want it. And I will tell you, I can't believe I'm doing this. There's another book coming. That's...
If I told you what happened in the last 24 hours, you'd be like, going, really? Really? Oh. Exactly. And the second book, see, the first book you do it to get out of you. Okay, you gotta. The second book is, this will really help people. I actually had the guy who's in charge of the Salem and Dallas, I interviewed him, and he was like, yep, that's exactly how it goes. It's like, good. I'm glad I'm not losing my mind entirely. Okay, again, 214-210-8483. If you want to text in, 972-445-0770. If you want to call in, how many total parables? Different ones. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, do your best. Proverbs 18:13. Here we go. He that answers a matter before he hears it, it is a folly and shame unto him. Okay, listen to what I'm going to say. Determining, by the way, that's the King James Version. Determining, concluding, before getting useful information and knowledge, in order to apply wisdom, is folly. In other words, it's like a court case, okay? And this is in Proverbs 18:17. The first to plead his case seems right until another one comes and examines it. In other words, when the first thing you hear, you're like going, yes, yes, yes. You know, that's what it is. And then somebody presents another side, and then you go, well, maybe. Right? Don't evaluate or determine everything based on you just hearing it, okay? All right, so let me say that in some nicer capacities, okay? You will hear things on the news from different news outlets. CNN, MSNBC, Fox, you will hear things on different websites and so on and so forth, all right? Before you ever just go, that's absolutely true, that's absolutely true. Number one, keep in mind that more retractions have been made in the news in the last 2 years than in the last 20 years. That's number one, which tells you they tell a story, and then on the last page they go, we were wrong. It's like, what the, I mean, shouldn't they be penalized for that or something? Okay, that's just my theory. And then two, don't evaluate anything before you get the information and you know, so you can make the best possible judgment. To evaluate something prior, it's a mistake. It's foolish. It's a very dangerous position for us to be in. Only God has that perfect capacity to have all knowledge, which is one of the reasons why he's the only one that can ultimately judge that, and his moral standard is pure and not impure like our own. But the idea is not to respond to it too early. The hard thing for me is somebody asks me a question, and what do? I mean, you guys know me. I'm pretty rapid. You know, it's like, answer, but sometimes, like even when Samson's called in and he's given an answer and I'm already on it, but he was getting ready to tell a joke and I kind of cut it off. You gotta be more patient. You gotta be more patient. We all gotta be more patient. That's what we gotta do. That's why it says he that answers a matter before he hears it, it's folly. It's a shame. We should be wiser than that. Thank the Lord God that he does not respond the way we respond. And how quick we are. Like, our knowledge is so superior. I was driving in today. I'll just tell you this. I was driving in today, and I was like, you know, oh, this is good, this is good, this is good. And then this song comes on about, you know, being humble before the Lord. And then I'm just like, I'm such a schmo. Because it's true. But he loves us. He loves the schmoes and the schmoettes. He loves us because he's for us, and if we just draw closer to him, how much better? How much better for all of us? Okay, Deb, that's a really long text for the show. I'm assuming you're just giving that to me. But just keep praying for her friend. Remember, we prayed for somebody who went through surgery yesterday, and the first thing she said is the surgery went great. They were able to get most of the tumor out, everything going good. But there's things that are still working on, things that still need to take place, certainly therapies. And so people just be praying for Deb's friend, the law enforcement person, who needs to have a faster, more thorough recovery. I'm summarizing for you, Deb, but just keep in prayer and just take your time, bring it before the Lord and say, hey, that person that's a friend of Deb's, that law enforcement person, please just move upon their lives so that they can find full healing and full grace. You know, I mean, that's all you got to do. You don't have to know every nuance and detail. You're not informing God when you pray. You're not giving him the information he didn't have. You're bringing your faith. And you're asking him to help. All right, let me answer the trivia question, then I'm going to send you out with a proverb, which we haven't done before, but we're going to try. The trivia question, how many different parables of Jesus do the four Gospels record? Roughly 40. So you could say 39, 40, 41, 42. That's about how many parables. So if you're going to say it, how many miracles? About 35. How many parables? About 40. That's a good way to just kind of think of it. You won't go wrong thinking of it in those terms. That will help you. Like I said, there's a couple of disputes on a couple of them, whether they're parables or not, and blah, blah, and blah, 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 and all that other stuff. All right, last thing to tell you, and then we're going to exit for the weekend. Proverbs 19:11. A man's discretion makes him slow to anger. Remember, we were just talking about don't being too quick. And it is his glory to overlook a transgression. So let me point this out to you. I would say this in lieu of me and of you and of everybody you encounter. It's glorious in the heart and mind of God to forgive people. It's something we need to be aware of because we need to park our anger. Okay? You ever go downtown to wherever you're at, and one of the things that everybody talks about is trying to find a parking place. Guess what? You need a parking place for your anger. I need a parking place for my anger. I need a parking place for my frustration. Because in the mind and heart of God, it's glorious to forgive somebody. It is his glory to overlook a transgression. Proverbs 19:11 says, it's awesome. And God does it for us, and we ought to do it for others. Overlooking the transgression, parking the anger, walking more Christ-like. Of all the big things that you come up with in your Christian walk, you're saved and you're going to heaven. But in the meantime, to reflect Jesus more and more and more ought to be the passion that we all have and hold on to. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas, taking a 72.5-hour break. Then we'll be back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Most of my life, it feels like I've been running.
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.